No discrete events. There's just interpretations that are organized into small packets. Oop, oh, and it's gone. Hello, my friends. I am remembering and then not remembering different things that I want to tell you, but when I want to tell you them, I forget them, so I have to fool myself into thinking I'm actually talking about something else. What I mean to do is take you on a tour, a ride. We are riding in a car, maybe. Are we literally riding in a car? Perhaps, perhaps not. Are you sitting? If you are sitting, imagine that we are riding in a car together and we are passing through some sort of terrain. Of course, you have to drive a car in terrain. I guess the terrain could be water. There's water taxis and things like that. We could live at the bottom of the ocean together. Oh, that would be fun. But right now, we are traveling or not traveling, which would be just sitting together, perhaps on a bench somewhere, and I'm not literally there. But I am going to tell you a story, or rather something that was told to me by a people that don't live here anymore. Now, all this around you. Now, look around. I don't know where you are. If I did, I would forget what I'm about to say. So it doesn't really matter where specifically you are right now. Like I said, you could be sitting in traffic in New York City. You could be in your bed in Europe. You could be in your European bed in Asia or at the bottom of the ocean. I don't know where you have it. They let you take them anywhere if you buy a bed somewhere. So your bed could be of any manufacturer. I want one that flies in the air like Winsor McCay's little boy, Little Nemo. Little Nemo would fly around in his bed. That's just the opposite of Captain Nemo, who we used to be on the bottom of the ocean. Little Nemo would fly in his bed. Now, it's terrifying. He'd hold on because the bed is flimsy and end up, you know, holding on for dear life onto the headboard, onto the frame. Now, I don't know this was back, in the aughts, noughts, before they had the things they have now. Beds fly using jet engines. Back then, they used gin and lead and other things you can't get now, things that are poison, Coca-Cola with cocaine in it, and that would make your bed fly, apparently, but literally. So come back down to earth with me, because there is where we live, and that's what I'm going to be telling you about, who lived here. Now, these people, they're mysterious, and it's a culture that doesn't exist anymore. And you say, isn't there evidence for it? No, there's no evidence for it. How do you know about it? I don't even know. These things are popping in and out of my head. I don't know whether they're contacting me. Oh, now, come on. Now, that sounds like something charlatans do. Oh, I'm being contacted by an ancient spirit. Here's the thing, though. I don't think mine is actually happening or is true. In fact, I know it's not most of the time. But sometimes I think it becomes true and then it's not again. Like a lot of history, things that we think are true sometimes get changed. For instance, we all think George Washington ate a tree and that his wooden teeth were because of that. He had eaten the tree and he said, I'm so ashamed. And so his father said, why are your teeth becoming wood? And Washington said, what? And he said, did you eat that cherry tree? No. And he sent him to the island of lying little boys who smoke cigars and get donkey ears. And there George Washington learned the art of land survey. And he came back and he did lots of things. These things are both true and not true because the what we call events, all these things, George Washington chopping a chair, that's a sentence that describes it. But it isn't the actual thing. The thing that's happening is not a thing. It's like saying that something that happens in a little space in the ocean in a square inch is an event. Isn't it not really an event? It's related to everything else in the ocean. Oh, now, forget what I was saying. Something about us driving a car. Maybe we need something. Are you taking me somewhere? I'm not trying to be obtuse. It comes naturally to me. I thought maybe we were going somewhere to pick something up for me. That would be so sweet of you. I hope that you've remembered what it is, because I do not. I just like to say, I guess it all started with my grandfather, something who would, we would drive through parts of town, and he would say, all of this used to be Fruit Grove. Here's the thing, he wasn't from that town, so I don't know how he knew. But he would say, oh, I guess someone had just told him he was passing that information on. But he'd never seen it. I'd never seen it. I assume it was probably pretty easy to prove at that point. But all of this used to be Grove that you see right now. Look to your left. Imagine that everything is there right now, wasn't there. Erase it. Erase it with your mind. And now build something there. It's polished stone. It's round. And these people that they lived there tens of thousands of years ago, now they don't. Now they don't. Okay, forget I told you that, because now it's not true. It's in flux, the past. It keeps changing. And that, to me, is evidence of time travel. You know, people say, oh, I know there's certain things. We know that time has changed. If they had, you'd perceive nothing, because you'd be instantly flipped into another universe, and you wouldn't even feel anything from the other one. So the things that you think, it's like if you hear, not hearing a mosquito means it's probably there, because it's the ones that bite don't make a noise. If you are experiencing something that feels as if the past changed, then it hasn't, because you're feeling it, so it's supposed to be part of that universe. We learned that day one of time travel school. Day one. Also, there's a day zero. So day one, I feel like an old hand by then. Day zero, we learn, hey, this isn't literally what you think it is. You're not going to be able to go back and get like a brand new Roman coin and bring it back. It's so much stranger than that. What it's about is undoing your seeing, being able to go back and forth through time, because it sort of gets erased. And when it gets erased, all the things in it that you think are events, they get erased and they blur together, and you can't remember whether you're remembering something or you're predicting it or you're dreaming it or it's true or not true, because if it exists as a thought, then it exists. Like Mickey Mouse. Oh, he's so real. He's so real. He's real if you can construct a sentence like Mickey Mouse killed a guy and it can be true. So when did that happen? Oh, well, someone dressed up as him. But does that make a difference? Santa Claus. Santa Claus hit a guy. That's true. Is there a Santa Claus? Well, they had a whole movie about the trial. So I don't know. There was a trial about Santa Claus. Is Santa Claus real? And Hannah Arendt wrote a very stunning book about it. Saying, I no longer care about anything, she wrote. That's her famous quote about the Santa Claus trial. I don't even, why am I here? And it was terrible for her, because it was a bit of an existential crisis. But everybody in the end were like, oh, you know what? What's truth versus whimsy? I think I know which side I'm coming down on. I'm going down on whimsy. And then truth, you do you. But we're over here, we're in Team Whimsy, I think, a lot of times. Oh, that's not necessarily good, I guess, depending on what you need. Is everything true? I don't know what's true. I'm not trying to play games with you. I'm not very good at games. I'm baffled by even really simple ones. Like somebody showed me Nine Man Morris or Nine Men's Morris. Something like that. And then we said, it doesn't get any more simple than this. I guess the next level, they said, is like tic-tac-toe, and then tic-tac-doe, the TV show. And then below that would just be dot, not a dot, was a game we used to play. I used to lose at that. Not a dot? No, it's a dot. People even would help me and go, say it's a dot. Not a dot, it's a dot. But so I'm not good at games, and I would not play one with you. And like I said, the only way I'm going to remember these things is if I talk around them. Because otherwise, the powers that be, and I don't even know who they are. I'm saying that let's not even look over there. Probably don't want me to tell you this. Tell you what? I don't know, which is good. That's why they're not paying attention, because I don't even know. And that way I'm not attracting attention to myself, because I'm not doing anything. And I think that's a good message to convey. And then I can convey it in all sorts of creative ways by making up my own language. Now, language, the language of this ancient culture that I'm about to tell you about that used to live here and lived in really interesting houses that were made of some kind of polished rock. I'm seeing polished rock. They also had a written language, but we don't know about the written language because they wrote it on something. It's a little more sturdy than paper, but we're talking tens of thousands of years ago. So it was better, a little better than paper. Let's say they wrote on cardboard with something that we would call a Sharpie. But was it made out of primitive material? No, they did plastic, but even plastic a couple 10,000 years ago doesn't hold up very well. So we don't have their Sharpies or the cardboard that they wrote things on. But I think they did that. And they had a very complicated culture. And now it's gone. Now it is gone. And I think they lived in what we now know is that part of Jersey City where they built the tall buildings. That was all swamp. And before that, I think very primitive people there. We say primitive, like in the 1920s. And then you go back even farther, and very sophisticated people lived there. Oh, I say, is that a stone axe? And that is pretty sophisticated, because I don't know if I could make a tool like that. So even if they were Paleolithic or any kind of lithic, they're doing stuff with litho and paleo. And they're putting it together. They were the first ones to wed those concepts and make something strong out of it. Stone's a beautiful thing. I think even if I have access, and this is proof now with people now, I know people now, that even if you have access to sophisticated building materials like press board or concrete, but stone still makes a great, adequate building material. Actually, it's preferable. We haven't gotten past that. Isn't that great? It's still the nicest way to make something fancy. So, you make it out of this fancy stone. No, thank you. I'm going to go with vinyl siding on my palace. So, I don't know. The stone, we leave the Stone Age. And it didn't mean that people started making houses out of bronze. Or iron, they waited to have steel to make the steel houses. Oh, those iron houses. I guess they made them. I don't even know. I think they made iron, like the kind of clothing iron. You could make a house out of that. Once you're retired, buy up a lot of them and glue them together and make a sort of... It started as a shed for my rider mower. And then I made an entire house out of these glued together appliances. First it's just irons. And then I found, toasters are kind of square. I'm going to build huge rooms, a lavish palace out of it. And finally, people will say, that is, wow, you did that. Mm-hmm. Why not? If we had stacked the garbage like that, hose off your garbage and start gluing it together. Maybe they did that in the past, but with sand and paper, and so we don't have any of their... All their palaces were made of paper. They're made of paper and glass and other things that don't survive. And they dressed in long flowing robes made of what we would say surgical gauze. And it was not... it's like, hey, that's kind of... You can see right through that. And they're saying, you lack sophistication. You must be from the future, like the Sleestaks, as opposed to Enoch... One of them is from the Bible, one of them is from Land of the Lost. And they were more sophisticated in the past, then they lost a lot of the things. This happened in Egypt. You look at those early Egyptian sarcophaguses as opposed to the later. They lost the skill set and the wealth they needed to do the amazing crafts. Nobody knew how to do it anymore. Nobody had the money to pay for it. It disappeared. Things disappear. The past changes because there's no discrete events. We interpret things. We say, that is the moment that I lost my mind. But little of that has any concrete meaning. That is a moment. We cannot make a discrete moment. Hey, Zeno, What are you doing? I'm doing something with an arrow. Listen, I am so glad to be able to tell you these things because other people, when they tell you something, they'll go, oh, this is accurate or this really happened. And sometimes they are speaking what we call out of school or outside of school or in a school, but it's closed. And so that's strange and creepy and like in a nightmare. But what I'm saying is that this is where they built all their homes and their city were built right there to your right. Look to your right. Now erase all that with your brain. Erase all the walls. And imagine there's one of their cities there. What did they call themselves? I've forgotten again. But my impression is that that's not a good question. I once had a cocktail napkin that said, deep thinkers are just shallow thinkers who have stopped digging. And I believe that at some point when you reach a bottom and when you reach a conclusion, that's just like touching your bottom to me. When you reach that, it's the digging. You got to keep digging past that because now things may have changed. You have to be in that constant state. So really, you're tunneling into something, through something. You're probably going to come out on the other end of the planet. And maybe, depending on your momentum, you'll fly into space like that. If your luck is good, you'll hit the underside of a flying bed. With little Nemo be there, hit those old-timey bed springs, and bounce back to Earth. And you'll land in a field of daisies and wake up and you'll say, that was some dream. I shouldn't have had that spicy mustard on top of that shank of something. But was it a dream? Were you flying around out there? This trying not to directly remember things thing is rough. It's like trying to see something out of the corner of your eye. Because, you know, you see, the minute you notice it, you look at it and it's gone. How do you notice something without noticing, without focusing on it? Just got to kind of feel it without naming it. Oh, that's tough. I find that very difficult. And this is when I travel through time to interpret what I'm seeing, because a lot of times it's not clear. It's never like Mr. Peabody. Let me describe it for a minute. I never come out of a door and see, like, oh, there's a tree, and there's a fella in a Revolutionary War costume. Say, Governor, what be you do here? And I'll go, I don't know. It won't be like that. It won't be like that. It'll be vague. It'll be soupy and dreamy and thick and odd. And I won't know whether I'm hearing things or not. And I'll have impressions. And I'll say, what is this? Is this a person? I'm trying not to think things like that, because when I think things like that, I don't get it. The best way to do it is go into it. Let it wash over me, and then interpret it later. And still, it's going to be wrong. I do believe, though, over here was some sort of old amusement park on the left there. Break all that down with your mind. All those buildings weren't there. And then there was amusement parks, and they were based on a lot of them on 70s cartoons that were terrible to begin with. So you have an amusement park based on, let's say, Hair Bear Bunch, and it would try to recreate the zoo in Hair Bear Bunch. And how all they were always trying to break out and stuff like that, like it was Sergeant Bilko. And all that was awful. It was awful for children. And then to further exploit them by making them think that that was a fun thing to do or fun stuff, all this fun. Eat this. It doesn't look real. Eat it. It's purple and sweet, and you like purple and sweet. Oh, the things that we subject children to and still do because we think we're doing them a favor. So they like that. They like all the colors and the flashy things. And I want to hit stuff and eat sugar. All right, let's do it. And then you'll have fond memories of this. Here's the thing. If you do it well enough, as an adult, you'll say, I want to collect all the candy I ate as children. As children, well, you were more than one, probably. Oh, I am bound to the memories, I am bound to them, I am bound to the past, I'm bound to it. There are things that pull my legs into the earth. They want to bury me, they want to bring me in. They do, though. Meanwhile, hide or golf eyes, central incisor, night teeth emerge through faces of young puppeteers. Books are dropped on troops like fresh groups of surprise farmers, dog harmers, people with side conditions and wishes for false real estate visions. Decisions to build stone towers or poles to the stars, drive cars to the far home, lose tar to pile domes of dirt like Welsh priests. Cease to desist, desist to cease. Make creases in sheets of frozen shrouds or cartoon loudspeaker touts. Downspout, spout, newfound K-steel law. Brown bats block white nose death knell flaw. Cave living persists, big leather kung fu wrists. Stand on walls and toss rocks at rocks and attacking candy men. Spend time with step dreams and half-ghost god children. One more built-in, take time off to go thunder making. Eat sweet fences of Victorian green imagination. Be swell, K-tel ration. Fan appreciation, appreciation. I got mine, you got raging. I'm no fan of gears engaging. Be right, see right. Make rat run battle stations like a rat trap ration. Stops the rat scheme nut plantation. This is Hardy White, and I'm thinking, if I'm sitting on this special stone, and I don't know when it is, and I'm looking at these trees, and I don't know where they are, and there's some shade of purple to me, and the sun is some shade of orange, and this scene in my mind, this scene becomes an event, it becomes a painting or a room, it becomes an installation made of light. And I go there still to this day, and yet it's never happened to me. I never sat on that rock. I never saw that scene. There was not water coursing by that was another strange shade. Maybe it was gold or some improbable color like that. Maybe it was made of gold. Maybe there were rivers of literal gold. I do not know, because I don't remember. And I'm trying to tell you what this used to look like here, and I have no idea. I've been lied to so much. I'm telling you, somebody said there was a bunch of amusement parks here. That's not what it was. It was a wastewater thing. They were saying, oh, these pits. They were like it was like a water world, water park. But go ahead and jump in. They're still there. The water slide. And they go, that's not a water slide. That's for wastewater, sewage, depending on whose butt it came out of, whether you're from the Midwest. And so, but it all now I know that's no sort of water park. You're not going to fool me. Now, I'm sure it has the same fecal content as a lot of those water parks, but this one was intended for that. So, that's not true. And I have seen this wonderful, what they call ruin porn that people like and say, "This, look at this old 1920s indoor pool. It was very chic and posh in its time. But look, decay has led to it looking like ruins. Now we know what it must have been like when the Romans were first here and their ruins were being used and made a beautiful tile, and you can picture it. They had nice things. And then they came in and people made the graffito and all sorts of things, and the walls were knocked down and great conflicts. And now it's not here anymore. This is the movie theater down by the mall that we used to go to, but now it's just one wall is all that's standing. How do you know it's the movie theater? I don't know, but come over here to the ruins of the bowling alley. All right, stand in the middle of the ruins of the bowling alley. Okay, not much here. Okay, now do this. Oh my gosh, what's that, fried food? Yes, you can still smell it. And something, what's that other thing? I don't know. We always thought maybe it was the Lane Wax, because there was always a fellow that worked there named Lane Wax, too. He used to get quite a ribbing. When your name, if your name also, if you work at the bowling alley, your last name is Brunswick, people go, woo, 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 Mr. Moneybucks, you of the same? Oh, no, it's not even spelled the same. My name is spelled B-R-O-W-N. Well, that's not Brunswick. I know, I'm trying to tell everybody. But we don't have, do we even have bowling alleys anymore? I don't even know when I am. I might have landed in the wrong darn time. I came here because I've sensed you were here. Are you having some sort of vision? Are you trying to have a vision, Hardy? I don't know what I'm doing. I'm letting my mind decide what it does and what it shows you and what it tells you about. And you may say that sort of vision, something's working through me. Yes, lunch. And it creates all sorts of crazy things going on. And they are no different, really, than the ones that I am convinced are very upstanding and rational. The ones that I know are actual memories of things that really happened. And they are discrete events that I can define and describe. No. I think it's washing over me. I think it's washing over me like a river. I don't know what that means exactly, friends. I don't know what to do with that information. I have nothing to do but I can tell you about it, but it won't be pertinent to you that people lived here. And oh, now they're gone again. Now it's a different civilization. These folks had crazy hats. I guess they're hats. I don't know if that's part of their head or what, but they go up really high. It seems to me it'd be impractical to walk around like that. But maybe they didn't have much to do. And they say, I'm just going to start piling beautiful decorative things on top of my head. And I guess they've done that. I've seen maybe crabs that do that. Say, look at that. I'm wearing an entire boulder or something. I'm carrying around for no reason other than to impress other crabs. Get it? I get it. Looking good, brother crab. But I don't know about these folks. Now they're not doing it. Now they're going back to living in a sort of roundhouse. Boy, that becomes a default, doesn't it? Except, like I said, they were very sophisticated. They almost had computers. I think maybe they did. Why is there no evidence of this? Oh, come on. It's gone. Maybe they made it out of something else. They had computers, but they were made out of amber, and they were made out of some sort of copper, some sort of essence of copper that, I don't know, the technology is lost. But they weren't stupid. And people, you know, tens of thousands of years ago were identical to modern humans. You go, well, we've evolved since then. I'm afraid we have not. They were modern humans. Their brains were the same. Yes, but now we know more. Oh, do we? I mean, I don't know. I guess we know, well, they didn't know how to do certain things. I guess not. But, you know, maybe they knew how to do some things, and we just don't know. What we don't know, no, no. And, you know, gosh, things disappear. People disappear. Well, are you saying because there's no skeletons of alligator people, that means they must have existed? No, I'm not. But I'm saying if alligator people keep just, if they pop up in your imagination, then you must let them live somewhere. And the past has got so much open space in it. For instance, you know, there's lots of people you've got. If I start asking you about what happened, these and you have a vague impression of people living in tents and throwing things at woolly mammoths and things like that. But really, there's so much space there. You might as well put some people that didn't exist or some things back there. They can live there and they can live out in a wonderful existence. You can attribute all sorts of things to them. You can have them sing songs. This is a song that the ancient people sung. I'm going to let it come right through me. I'm not going to think. I can't think about it. If I think about it, I'll make up the song. So I have to go into the river. If I let myself plunge into the ocean of undifferentiated stuff, time stuff, ocean, then maybe I'll pick up that thing. But if I try to say, you know, I want to hear the song of the blah, blah people, that's a meaningless statement. Okay, here we go. Here's the... So that would have been maybe a very holy song that you would just sing on special occasions. Everybody now. And then you repeat that phrase, and that's like, I don't know, that was like 120 beats or something like that. That's a lot to remember. But they would break it up into a long sentence. You know, me and Mr. Mary Boat went to the shore and we had the fun and time, and then we said, steak and the beans, like that. And then we'd describe it. And then you'd sing about it. Oh, these messages from the past. Why are you telling me this? I don't remember again. Just keep driving or keep sitting. I'm sitting next to you. That's what matters is right now. What we're doing right now, I think, is the way that we're going to enter this mysterious thing is through the present, through this instant is the key to it all, isn't it? Right now. That's the thing I'm the surest of. Oh, I think everything is just is ishness. You know, like a circle isn't a true circle. It's an approximation of a circle because everything's moving and in flux. You do the best you can. You get the closest to truth. Is there truth? Yes, there's truthishness. And you can see it if you stand back. But it's, you know, around the edges, everything around the edges blurs and fades and everything like that. Everything is ishness. Everything is just like that, as close you can get close to it. If you look right at it, it falls apart. If you say, this is so, it can fall apart. This is mostly so. This is often so. Oh, my friends, my good intentions are like that. When I say, oh, I want to reach my heart out to you and I want to comfort you because I know how difficult life is, I am not able to do it with 100%. I'm doing it as best I can. It's lovishness. It's compassion-ishness. It's the best I can do at any given time. It changes. Sometimes it's acute and great and strong. It's like when you're a power lifter. That one day, you don't set the record every single day, but there's a one time you go out during a tournament, you're fired up and all the energy is right, and you can lift it up like that. And you only just approximate that. Maybe you never get back to it. You're always aroused, so you say, a world's strong-ish man, strongest man or woman or person. Never exactly, and only for the moment. Because the world's, I'd say, I met the world's strongest person, and I messed them up. I pushed over their chair. So who was it? Oh, it was, his name was Tony Oldmanson. He won the 1920 strongest, what? How old was he when you pushed him over? 100 and something, I'm sorry. So it matters. These things we say that happened. You have the library that matters. And you go, well, mine's incomplete. It's just a bunch of impressions. I don't even know what's happening to me, Hardy. I can't tell. This is such a strange experience in my life.
I know. This is crazy. Isn't this nutty?
I don't know what's going on. I don't know too much about it. I've seen, but I will say this. It gets even nuttier. And it goes by so quickly. Goes by? What do you mean? Well, you're alive and then you're not. What's it like to not be alive? Nobody ever has known that. Knowing is a life thing. So isn't that exciting? No one's ever known what it's like to be dead. Unfortunately, all the time leading up to it can be worse. And that's really what we concern ourselves with. The dead are fine. It's the living who are going to get the really bear the brunt of it. And so that's what we want to do. And we don't know if time backs up or something. We might have to go through these things again. Therefore, it's really nice to go ahead and try to fix as much as we can, just in case you have to do it all again backwards. Would you know it was going backwards? I don't think so. Maybe it is now. I think it is now.
You mean people would be coming, they would be unborn, they'd go back into the...
Now, what did I tell you about discrete events? So you're describing, say, I was born. But that's a discrete event, right? You're saying you're describing it, but the whole, the thing that happens, those aren't the right words anymore if it's going backwards. Does that make any sense?
No.
Because the other thing on the other end is your birth.
You mean when I come out of the ground?
When you emerge from the ground?
I emerge from the ground and I change over time.
That is just like being born. So maybe it's flippable. Maybe it's reversible like my pants that I have on. Oh, wait, they're not reversible. Sometimes things are. Oh, joke's on me. No, these are the regular kind. That's not right. That's supposed to be on the inside. Whoopsie. I've done that with reverse. I think all clothes are reversible, but they're not, apparently. I was told, well, the tag's on the outside shirt. And I go, well, I'm wearing the light. I like the light, fadey color. I'm choosing that. And they go, no, that's the inside of the shirt. Sometimes they have to add dude. Right now I'm experiencing the fact that the outside of my Aloha shirt that I'm wearing is less vibrant than the inside. I wonder what that's, maybe it's been made to look old, or wait, I'm just kind of rough on clothes, I think. I wear them, here's the stupid thing with clothes, I do things in them, which is really dumb. That's where this like nudity prohibition is silly. Like, you're wrecking my clothes. Just don't look, but I need to do stuff that's going to wreck clothes, and I can hose off everything else, but don't make me ruin these pants. No, I like to wear clothes when I garden. It's just something I do. I started that. People didn't used to do that. Of course they did. Did they? I don't know. They certainly dropped lots of things in the old days. I know from watching archaeology shows that people dropped their jewelry more than they do now, I think. Because if they did that now, then a retired person would find it with their metal detector. So back then they didn't have that. They didn't have that. But there's no... Guess how many metal objects there are on the beach in Miami Beach? None. I bet there's none. You know, I think the city actually has to go and drop stuff. Like they drop rings and coins and stuff out there just so a lot of retired people won't get frustrated and angry. Like they do when they stock ponds, like fishing ponds. Oh, there's a good old fishing pond. Quick, put some fish in it. I got one. I wonder if they do that with that. I want to do that. I want to explore, you know. Maybe I'll retire somewhere where I can dig something up. And my garden will be, what's this? It's a skull. But it's enormous. Maybe it's some kind of animal. No, but it's a human skull. Giants. You've discovered a race of giants. That could be. Or maybe it's just one giant. That's the thing. You discover one giant and you think, race of giants, one giant. Hard to say. You want there to be more.
But sometimes they're not. Sometimes a lot of them have turned into mountains and things like that because of spells. So there's not as many huge people walking the earth as there used to be. And there are, you know that. Their footprints became lakes and things like that. They became so absurdly large that a lot of them got sucked into space. And I don't know how that works. But it's, you know who would know is Winsor McKay. But a lot of what I know is based on, you know, what I think is fact. And it's working so far. Most of my advice is not for working physicists who really require and have earned the right to believe certain things because they can use that to do something either predictive or to make the whole world explode. So I believe that. And I would keep using that. There are some subtler beliefs that people have used to construct their world and have used to tell their stories that I am going to have to debate with you because I've been to the past and it is swimmy and dark. It is like diving into a dark pool, and there in the murky depths are things that are frightening, like alligator-like with large teeth. There in the dismal depths, strange creatures lurk, and you feel them. You feel them more than see them. And they come at you, and you leave with a certain vibration. And that's what I'm going to deliver to you. What is your message to Earth, Hardy? Oh, I am a great messenger that is getting a word from beyond. What is it? Invest in my new scheme. But give me a minute to make one up. Now that I have your attention, let me sell you something stupid you don't need. I'm selling magical pieces of cloth that have been anointed with an oil, the recipe of which I received from people from 10,000 years, 20,000 years, 30,000 that keep receding in the past, but they were sophisticated people. And they were beautiful and handsome. And that, it's so striking to me. And their clothes were, you know who went back with me and stole a lot of the designs? Rudy Gernreich. So I got to tell you, know, whenever I make quips about designers or things like that, I guess there's really crickets. And I just wonder how many people are like thinking about, like, I wonder what, you know, I wonder what the kind of, what's the best colored drapes or something you can have? And I don't think of those things very often. But when I do, it sends me out doing a little research where I'll say, gosh, who invented, you know, the monokini? I thought, that's why I got. And then I thought, oh, there's somebody, Rudy. And my world expands. And then I think, gosh, a lot of this stuff is up for grabs, these ideas. Maybe I can participate in the building of this world. Maybe the past is mine to construct as well. Oh, I have chased away all those who would restrain us. I have chased off our enemies. They do not have the patience to cull through this story. You see, I have done a little bit of a switcheroo. I have scared them away. I have pretended to be someone I am not. I have put on a false outfit. Don't look at me. I'm harmless. But what I'm saying is not harmless. Oh, I'm going on the radio right now, and I'm telling the secret to shattering all the things, all the bonds of power, and that is that you create the world right now. You can shatter that past as arbitrary. Oh, things are true indeed. Oh, there is gravity. Oh, yes. But George Washington did not chop down that cherry tree, and the order that you have been given is not the real thing. It is a picture of a picture of a picture. It is an interpretation. It's somebody's opinion. Oh, and the real truth of it probably is not something that can ever be reached. That is why we depend on the present. I would never say that my compassion for you depends on something that happened in the past. Oh, because Mike Jim Bahabas told me to.
I shall love you. No, I shall love you because I shall love you. I shall open my heart and I shall work for my neighbor because I shall work for my neighbor. I am living right now. I know that I inherit certain things and certain ways of doing things, but I can change them. I will change the rules. I shall change all rules and laws. All laws now changed. All rules now changed. All internal laws and rules now changed. I will be one person in the market. I will be another person in my mind. I will live in a true liberated world where my heart is free, where I am not threatened by other human beings, where I can be of help to them, where I can hide from them when I need to self-preserve, that I can go out and I can work in the world and I can be in it and I can be eaten by it in a beautiful way. Oh, it'll consume me at the end. I shall dive into its belly and it will eat me slowly. It will digest me in its bowels and it will poo me out a beautiful tree and I will come out. It's because it doesn't have a rectum? No rectum. Its rectum is its skin, and it will secrete me as something else, trees or bees or something like that. And I shall fly around again, and I will have no memories of being hardy, because I will need no memories of being hardy. I shall have no sense of reincarnation. I need no memories of being a pig in another life. I need no memories of being Caesar in another life. Why would I? Caesar never lived in my reality. Well, I guess he did. I don't know. I don't really. Does it matter? It matters when it matters, and it doesn't matter when it doesn't matter. I am having a time right now with you that's so beautiful to me that we can share these things together. Say, oh, friend Hardy, getting awfully excited. I'm trying to get excited. I'm trying to do that. I'm trying to lift us up. Say, let's stay engaged with this crazy thing. I know this. The pain is there, but it's like coming out after a disaster. We all walk into the street. Listen, hear me out. You, my friend, all of you care. We walk out into the street after a disaster, and we look at each other, and we look in each other's faces, and we say, I am connecting with you. I know now that I must come out and face you, and I must help you, and you will help me. And now we have something to do, and now we have something to engage in that gives meaning to us. And well, meaning ultimately might be futile for all this endeavor. It's not futile when we're helping dig each other out of a pit. It's not futile when we're helping each other get fed, or we help each other get water, or we help each other stay out of the weather. That's not futile. That's real. And the pain is real. And the working together, and the working together to do it, and it's meaningful. It is meaningful when I take you by your hand and I bring you into this shelter after this terrible disaster. Oh, the world has crumbled. We no longer, though, sit in our cubicles thinking, why am I editing this paper? For whom am I doing this? How does this make the world better? I have no choice. If I don't do this, I will perish, and they will watch me perish, and no one will care if I starve, because they want me to do this meaningless thing for them that helps no one, and if I don't do it, it's under threat of death, under threat of ostracism. And here, in the face of a disaster, when everything is bleak, when I think I have lost everything, I see my fellow human beings, and I see my community, and I see all my siblings there. And I think, give me your hand. Give me your hand in this. This is our day when we come together. This is when we make our presence into history. This is when you make it and you say, I'm going to make this beautiful thing that I know is disposable. I'm going to make a roundhouse because a roundhouse has mud walls. A roundhouse isn't meant to last forever. Nothing's meant to last forever. Make something that you know requires daily maintenance because it will keep you focused. If you make something you think is permanent, you're going to be shocked permanently. You will be shocked as the walls fall on the thing you thought would last 100 years. Make a thing that needs fresh mud daily, and you will take care of it. You will treat it like a child. Oh, that came from them. That's what. I mean, if it helps, I'm lying about that part. Like, maybe I'm lying, maybe I'm not. But that makes it more fun to me. I think you could have a whole people get together and all agree on something, on just a fun lie, and give it life with their beautiful intentions. And that would be nice, to sing about something together. Let's do it right now, shall we? Please open your books. I didn't order. Please open your special Hardy White book. Hardy White book? I don't have one. I'm just listening for the first time, I guess. To page. Nobody has one. Are you sure? No, nobody has one. There's no Hardy White book. Okay. So if you're the first time listener, you have the same thing as somebody who's been listening for 10 years, 20 years. Okay. You've been on this station for 20 years? No, but I've been me and I've been talking. So, and on the radio, so that counts, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Listen to me. We don't have to listen to me. I take that back. Are you there? That's what I meant to say. Listen. I meant to say, like, listen, I love you. Don't worry. That kind of listen. I'm not demanding your attention. I wouldn't do that. If I want your attention, I'll scream like I'm being hurt. But right now, I just want your company. And I want you to feel as if your feeling with me is I can drag you into the present with me and let you know that sometimes the past can grab your ankles like a skeleton does in a graveyard. You're walking by the graveyard. It's the same principle. And you're minding your own business. And something reaches up from the grave and grabs your ankle and impedes your progress. And there you are, mired by it. And you need somebody to come and step on those bony hand and shatter the bond and say, we're walking over here to do fresh work in this fresh field. And we're digging together. What are we digging? We got to dig out this thing, this foundation by night because rain's coming. We got to have something over our heads. And we have great purpose. And we bond. Oh, it's the way I like to be with somebody. I like to be doing something with my hands with them. We can be doing intellectual work. Anything like hand, there's all kinds of work. One is one of you is hunched over the piano and the other is smoking a cigarette standing going, I don't know, try this, try that. That's like a songwriting team kind of working together. That's beautiful. Then there's like you're working on construction together, making something, all kinds of things. Cooking, I love that. Preparation of something, food together, decoupage, more solitary thing, more solitary activity, but all sorts of other wonderful things that we do together. And that's what I like. I like sitting in the bars for afterwards. That's for right. That's just pre your work, your fellowship, you live, love, laugh, salt, do some acid, go to the bar, have your drink, pass out, wake up the next morning and say, what are we working on today? And say, today we're making a still. Fun, right? So I'd like to do that or some other direct activity that benefits human beings. I can't believe that we're alive at the same time. I may not be. I think you are. Are we alive at the same time? We are alive at the same time. That might not be true in the future, but right now it is. And I think that's very special. I never discount everything. Maybe I'm a romantic. But the way I look at it is something is valuable if it's invaluable. Something is beyond value if it's the only thing. And this experience you're having, whether you're the king of Zubaba or nobody or a char, maybe you're a char woman. I don't even know if that is. Maybe I might be one. I don't even know what it is. But let's say you're a chambermaid or the Archbishop Fenelon, it does not matter. You are having an experience, and that experience is not replicable. It is not replicable, and it is therefore unique, and it's intense, and it's unpredictable, and its duration is unpredictable. And you can't tell me that that isn't amazing and valuable. So that's where I put my focus. I don't wait for things to be evaluated by others. I try to experience them. So you, my friend, you say, well, maybe I'm nobody. Nobody's nobody. And the people that you think are somebody, they're equally nobody and somebody at the same time. And their names, who are they? Sometimes they're just characters. Sometimes they're well-known because they're well-known.
There's no super beings. There's just all these crazy beings, and we're all in it. That's why if you notice somebody, feel great that you've noticed it. It's like noticing about, I remember walking in a field. Now, don't tell anybody because I wasn't supposed to do this. I was walking in a field, and I found some slag. It was iron slag, so it was blue, right? Blue, that crazy blue. And I dug it up. And I got the best feeling from that. Why are you saying that? I noticed it. What is it worth? Nothing. Oh, it's not worth anything. It's worth zero. It's not a precious or anything, but it was a beautiful, precious, unique thing to me, and it impacted me. And I'd rather find that. Y'all are slag. You know, at your worst, you're slag. At your best, you're some crazy little brass button off a uniform. That's an odd thing to say. I know. I mentioned something shiny that a crow would like. Thank you for being my friend. And if I've ever helped you, let me tell you this. Don't thank me. You don't have to. Thanking is a burden. It's a burden for everybody. Because I might have helped you accidentally. But if you thank me, I might think that I've done something that I can then go duplicate, and I might get it all wrong. So this way is great. I can do something maybe for you. You don't have to tell me. So it's not awkward for anybody, and the world gets better. And you can do it too. Go out there, and you can be helpful in a way that if you've done something really wrong, you won't be caught. That's when I say, oh, I was trying to help. Who's you? Nobody. That's the way that if you help anonymously, you can't be prosecuted. So, I don't know. If I ever say anything like, go out, do this, do that, be this, gosh, ignore me. Because it's probably just a figure of speech, because I would never do that. What I like to do is point things out. I'm just showing. And then you make the plan. You come up with your little trip planner. I'm going to say, here's the things that are out there. Here's the things I saw. Now you go explore. You don't have to consult with me. You don't have to thank me. You don't have to find me. We are friends eternally. You are friends with yourself eternally. Oh, go out there and have a wonderful friend day with yourself. You're going to be able to get stronger and better adapted to this craziness if you don't mind going into the place where there's an ancient culture that there lives sometimes and other times does not. I can't really put my finger on it. I can never put my finger on what I want to say to you exactly. So I keep saying sort of the same things, a lot of things, so that one of them hits. It's like when you open a drawer in a hotel, and they've tried to anticipate what you need. A thimble, some thread, an entire belief system in the form of a book, a pen, a little cloth for something, a shoehorn, another type of cloth that you think might be for something that people don't have or wear anymore. But that's because they anticipated that need so long ago. So I don't even know if I need, what is this for? Oh, it's for a type of shoe. It's for cleaning the clay away from the hobnail on your ancient sandal. Oh, that's great. That's still in hotels. That's crazy. That's from when this was called a hospital. This was a hospital? Not that kind of hospital. A hospital for poor people. Oh, what cures poverty? Hospitality. I want to last. I'm so glad. I'm overwhelmed, really. No, I'm not. I'm Hardy White, and this is Miracle Nutrition on WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, 91.9 in New York City, and Rockland County, New York, and online, WFMU.org worldwide. I love being with you, and I'll see you again next week.
Santa, what you gonna do?
Santa, what you gonna do?
When the world's on fire. What you gonna do, Santa man?
What you gonna do?
When the world's on fire. Oh, and what you gonna do?
What you gonna do?
Cinnamon, what you gonna do?